All right, as you know, the last couple of weeks, the series on being a first century Christian in a 21st century world. You know, the faith hasn't changed, God's word hasn't changed, but Christianity has changed over the years. Matter of fact, it's changed rapidly since I got saved in 1983. It's amazing what has gone on in so-called Christianity. Yet we need to get back to the Bible. We need to practice the faith that is once given unto the saints. Now notice what it says in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Now, does anybody need a Bible? If you do, raise your hand. We'll get you one. All right, right there. Anybody else need a Bible? All right, James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Notice what it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed." You know, I think some of us have spiritual amnesia. You know, you read the Word of God and then you forget all about it. You know, the Word of God is there for us to perform. We are to be doers of the Word, not just readers, not just hearers. We are to actually be performers of what God has said. Now, we understand in life that there's an imaginary freedom, and that imaginary freedom creates bondage. I remember when I was growing up, I was a little guy, and we used to have this biker gang live down the road, and I'd see them drive their Harleys, and I'd see them drive their Triumphs, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to grow up. I'm going to be like them. Those guys really know what freedom's all about. But you know what? They were in bondage. They just didn't realize it. They thought they were free, but they were in the bondage of sin. You know, many people find themselves in that bondage, thinking that they are actually exercising freedom. When the Christian life, we understand also that there is a bondage when one becomes a willing servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we become that bond slave to Jesus, that's when we experience liberty or freedom. You see, our liberty is in Jesus Christ. Now, James refers himself as a bond slave, a willing servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, James happened to be the what? Half-brother of Jesus. He was the human penman God used to write down this epistle. Now, in the book of James, we are dealing with the Christian life. Now, God uses expression for the Christian life, and you know what he calls it? He calls it the perfect law of liberty. Pretty good, isn't that? Now, as believers, we are to be willing servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be true servants. We are to serve him all of our days, and we do so as we continue in our obedience to God. Now, God gives us freedom as we continue in the law of liberty. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free." You know, how many realize we in America are called the land of liberty? Amen. And how many... Yeah, our liberties are kind of being squelched, are they not? It's that noose seems to be tightening. But you know what? At one time, we were the land of the free, were we not? And we had rights that were given to us by God and written down in our Constitution. And what is that thing called? Bill of Rights. Yes, there we go. And so all of that stuff, we had freedom. Amen. But you know what? One thing about America, how many realize that we got a lot of prisons? I mean, if you don't understand that, just drive down to Canyon City. That's what the whole population of the city is. Prisoners. They got like 8 to 10 prisons down there, don't they? In Florence and in Canyon City. Now, if we're the land of the free, why in the world do we got prisons? Why do we have people in bondage? Why are they in jail? Why are they in prison? What happened? What happened is they broke the law. And because they broke the law, they now have to pay the price by losing their freedom. Now, that's the same thing what happens to Christian people. You know, we're free as long as we live within the confines of the what? Perfect law of liberty. We step out of that, we find ourselves in the bondage of sin, do we not? That same principle is applied to us today. Now, we read this in Galatians chapter 5, 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And then the Word of God says in Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, here's the thing. As Christians, we can yield to the Spirit of God, can we not? We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. And once again, I'm going to emphasize this fact because, you know what? I think a vast majority of people in our church this morning have not yielded themselves to the Spirit of God. Not once have they asked God to fill them this morning. You say, well, why would they do that? Because they can live it in the flesh. That's what they think. You know, if we live in the flesh, we're never going to enjoy this law of liberty, this perfect law of liberty that James is writing about. We cannot possibly live the Christian life in the flesh. It must be done in the Spirit. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know what that word filled means? It means controlled by. And if we're not controlled by the Spirit, we're in the flesh, and in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, we have been purchased, if we are believers, by Christ's precious shed blood. He's purchased our freedom. He's purchased our pardon. And you know what? We are now set free not to do as we please, but to do as He pleases. Now, how many think the God that created us knows what makes one happy and joyful and gives them peace? All right. So, we ought to just live to what? Please Him. If we start pleasing ourselves like we did prior to our salvation, how many remember those days? Boy, did that bring happiness. That brought permanent joy. That brought peace, did it not? Matter of fact, it made everybody miserable. Sure, there was pleasure in sin for a what? Season. But that season comes to an end. And then when you start reaping the results of the sin that you committed, you know what? You find yourself in pain and misery. So let me ask you, have you come to the law of liberty? Do you understand dying to self so you are no longer imprisoned by self-rule? Now, there's a lot of folks that are control freaks. Right? I'm telling you, they want control over everything. And they cannot understand what this is about surrendering to Christ. It's my life. I can't let things go. You know what? You're just ruining your life. You're finding yourself in bondage. And you know, by you controlling yourself, and or think you are, you know what? You're just not the happy person you ought to be. I don't understand those things. But you know, you can go on with yourself, and you can be miserable all you want to. But you'd be better off dying to self and letting the Holy Spirit take control. Now, the tyranny of self-life is what we would call the natural life. And that really is an imprisonment. Now, because of Christ's love for us and because of our love for him, we ought to be enjoying this law of liberty. Now, he's speaking about the Word of God, is he not? That's the perfect law of liberty. And we ought to apply the truth of God's Word to our lives, and then we can live for the Lord as we ought. You know, here's the thing. You know, so many people think they're good Christians and they ignore the Word of God. That is an impossibility. That cannot possibly happen because it's the Word of God that's the law of liberty. Amen? And you know what? God gave us his book and we are to be what? Doers of it. Now, if the Lord has a rightful place in our lives and we love him because he first loved us and we become devoted to him, free in him, a bondslave willing to serve him, he will give us the ability to love others a whole lot more. You know, you'll love your wife more if you yield yourself totally to the Spirit of God and allow God to have control. You will. You'll love your children more. You wives will love your husband more. And by the way, you ought to. Notice the expression in verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice this. This man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Now, this man would be constrained if he's living within the perfect law of liberty. He is constrained by his love for Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that Christ loved us enough to die on the cross, be buried, and rise again, and offer us a gift of eternal life. But you know, since he died for us, we ought to be living for him. That is something that is found in the Bible. And so if we're living for him, you know what? We're going to be enjoying life a whole lot more. We can get in on life, not only eternal life, but life more abundantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." You know, there are things that you won't do because you love Jesus now. "Because we thus judge that if one died for all," now who's that speaking of? Jesus. "Then we're all" what? "Dead. Dead in our trespasses and sin. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live," "that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." Did you see that? Hey, you control freak out there. That's what it's talking about you. You who failed to surrender your all to Christ. You're not supposed to be living unto yourself. He bought you lot, stock, and barrel. Body, soul, and spirit when he shed his blood on Christ on the cross and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. It says we're not supposed to live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now the word constrained means to be held fast or confined. Now the love of Christ should confine us, our love for him, and which should cause us not to do some things we used to do. Correct? You know, I remember when I first got saved, I lived like any heathen, probably worse than most. But you know, when I got saved, I realized there were some things there that is incompatible with my Christianity that I now, after I got saved, now testify of. And so, you know what? I had to make some changes in my life. You know, but why did I do that? I did it so everybody would think good of me. No, that had not even come into my mind. It did it because I love Jesus. And so you say, well, what did you do? Well, you know what? I used to smoke, and I stopped smoking, right? I realized, you know what, that smoking and Christianity are two polar opposites. If God wanted me to smoke, he would have put a chimney on my head. And why should I go around smelling like I've been in hell when I'm going to heaven? You know what else I found? I found drinking was incompatible with Christianity. You know, how could I be walking around with a beer in my hand or, you know, a mixed drink and getting loaded and, you know, thinking this is all right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, does it? You know what else I had to do? I had to clean up my mouth. Anybody else have a filthy mouth before they got saved? Oh, yeah. You know, I remember growing up, my mom used to wash out my mouth. You know, and I preferred Irish Spring. And but she would cleanse my mouth out once in a while. And you know what? It's horrible. But you know, when I got saved, you know what? I was now in my 20s. And you know what? I wasn't under my mom's roof anymore. And by the way, if I happened to go home, I wouldn't use that kind of language. And you say, why is that? Because I love my mom and dad too much, had respect for their home to use that kind of nasty language. But anyways, I realized, hey, you know what? Saying all those filthy words really is not helping my testimony at all. And so the love of Christ constrained me to start controlling my tongue. Remember Peter at the when he denied the Lord three times? What did he do to cause everybody to get the idea or impression that he didn't belong to Jesus? He cursed and swore, didn't he? I wonder if that's what happens to Christians today. You know, if you start cursing, you start swearing, you know, nobody believes you belong to Christ. They know you ought to be speaking in a different manner than they do. And so the love of Christ caused me to make some changes in my life. I knew it was wrong to do certain things. Now, here's the thing. If you love, the love of Christ constrains you to do certain things, don't you think you would be a better husband? Wouldn't that not cause you to love your wife as Christ loves the church? I think so. Wouldn't it cause you to love your children? Would it not cause you to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How about you women? If you're married, wouldn't it cause you to be a better wife? Would it not? Oh, here you go. Your favorite subject, ladies. Would it not cause you to be submissive and obedient to your husband? In how many things? Air thing. Would it not cause you to honor him? Respect him? But what if he's not respectable? Does that alleviate you from that command? Oh, just wondering. Some got the idea that that makes it all right for them to misbehave. And I know I've heard this before. Well, we're just human. Thanks for letting me know. You know, I understand we're all human. And I understand we all fail. But you know what? We're going to fail in certain areas at some times. But you know what? We are commanded to live within the perfect law of liberty, are we not? And we all should all give our hearts to the Lord, should we not? Should we not die to self and live for Him? But that doesn't mean we just give up and throw in the towel, does it? Well, this man James talking about, he's one that is obedient. Obedient. Now, obedience is simply not doing what God would have us do. You know, it's like this kid, his dad told him to sit down, and he sat down. And the preacher thought, man, that's pretty good. He says, man, he says, you're an obedient son. He says, I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. Now, how many think that boy was obedient? You know, growing up in my home, my dad would tell us to do things. And he expected us to be joyful in doing those things he asked us to do. And if you turned your head away and shook your head, or you gave him a snarly look, you know what? He would give you an attitude adjustment. And by the way, that's proper. That's proper. And parents, that's part of your responsibility. Now, did I like everything my dad told me to do? No. But you know what? I learned not to at least give him that look or cop an attitude, you know, and I might have still been on the inside, but you know what? Outwardly, I was performing. But that's not real obedience, is it? You know, we are to delight in doing what God has for us to do. Amen? Now, notice the little word but in verse 22. He's talking about the word of truth from verse 18. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Did you see that? People can be deceived by the devil, but they also can deceive themselves. The Bible says, but be a doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving what? Your own selves. Now, how does one deceive themselves? I'm glad you asked. Here's the thing. You know, people come to church, and because they hear the word of God, they think they're spiritual. Right? Or because they got Bible knowledge, they think they're spiritual. But they don't perform. So are they really spiritual? Not at all. Matter of fact, Jesus calls them what? What? No. Some of that. Fools. There you go. I'm glad you guys are tracking now. Now, I'm not saying that they're not carnal. And I'm not saying whatever else somebody said they were, hypocrites. But, you know, Jesus calls them fools. He said, oh, I don't think Jesus would call anybody a fool. Well, you know what? Why don't you read your Bible? You know, notice what it says in Matthew chapter 7. I'm glad you're tracking here. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 7. Now, remember, I didn't write this. My job is to proclaim it, right? My job is to live it, just like yours. Amen. Now notice what it says here. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, right, and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a what? Wise man. So if we hear and do, we're what? Wise. Which built his house upon a rock. The winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, now notice, the first guy, he also heard, did he not? And this person here also heard, did they not? Okay. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them what? Not. You see that? One was a doer, one doeth not. But they both heard the same thing. Right. Shall be likened unto a foolish. Oh! That just blows my whole conception of Jesus right out of the water. I never thought he'd call anybody a name. Well, stick around. You'll hear a whole lot more. Because Jesus says a lot of things to people that people would not expect him to say today. Likened unto a what? Uh-oh. Do you see that? Now, what do you think about these people who hear the Word of God, think they're spiritual, and they don't live by the Word of God? What are they? Are they really good Christians? They are what? Fools. Now, who said that? Which built his house upon the sand, the rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the what? Fall of it. Now, what's the difference here? Was it the building? Was it the structure? Now, it was partly the foundation, right? Yeah. But the whole point is, if we don't do it, we're fools. It's, oh, well, preacher, you know, that's probably why I don't read the Word of God. Oh, there you go. They're just compounding things, aren't you? You know, I remember when I was a young Christian, I would read the Bible a lot. I mean, at least an hour a day. And I would start thinking, man, you know, the more I read, the more responsible I am to do it. Maybe if I would just slow down and not read it, then I won't be responsible for it. There you go. And, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, you go, let's say you don't read the driver's manual, but you still got a driver's license, and you say, you know, that thing, so I don't need to read that. Obey that, I got my license, right? And then you just go flying down the road, and you get pulled over. And you tell the police officer, well, I was ignorant. I did not know I couldn't go 75 in a school zone. I thought those kids were supposed to dodge me. Don't I have the right of way? And you find out very quickly that you are wrong. He doesn't care if you're ignorant about it or not. You're still held liable for that driver's manual. And we're still held liable for this book. God gave it to us. We are to what? Read it and heed it. Do you realize how important it is to obey? You know, we got a lot of people in church that are faithful who are not obedient. Oh, they'll walk around. They dress the part, look the part, act the part while they're in church, and yet they're not spiritual. Huh, crazy, isn't it? You know, we are to be obedient. You know, so many think they're spiritual when they're not. They don't obey what God has said. Now they know, right? And knowing and putting into practice, there seems to be a large gulf that exists, doesn't it? Don't you think it's about time that we close that gap? And you know, the knowledge that we have should cause us to be doers. Don't you think that would be a good idea? Then we don't have to pretend. We don't have to be a fool any longer. We'll be doers of the word. This man was blessed. And why was he blessed? Because he was a doer of the word. You know, you could be a member of a family, and the family's blessed, but you're not. You could be a member of the church, and the church is being blessed, but you're not.
Right.
You say, well, why is that? Well, because you're not a doer.
Right. Amen.
James 1:25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Now, here's the thing. You know, how many know what a mirror is for? Okay. All right. I question sometimes. I see a lot of folks walking around and I'm like, have they looked in the mirror? And it's obvious if they did, they didn't care what they saw. Right. But anyways, you know what a mirror is for, right? And you know what? It's there so you can, you know, primp and, you know, get yourself all purtied up and everything. And so you look somewhat presentable, right? You know, sometimes you just don't care, though. I mean, I'm like that. I mean, you know, I look at my hair, my one hair. And it's all cattywampus and everything. I said, well, that's what they made hats for.
Amen.
I'm a man of many hats because I have a bad hairdo. But anyways, you look in the mirror, right? Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we had a spiritual mirror so we could really see what we look like? And it could reveal to us what's really on the inside? Oh, here's the thing. We do have one. It's called the Word of God. And maybe that's why we're not reading it and doing it like we're supposed to, because we don't like what it sees in us. Yeah, that's funny. That's good, isn't it? You know, I read a story about this one guy. He was a rich old man. And he lived off of old, stale pieces of bread. You know, there's people out there that are wealthy do this stuff. I read of an old rich lady, I mean, wealthy beyond all imagination, and she would not even buy milk for her oatmeal. She would use just water. Oh, no, it was for a cereal. Just use water because she was cheap. Don't say she was frugal either. She was covetous. Both of these people are. And so this guy's living off of stale pieces of bread. Now, he didn't have to. He chose to do that. Now, think about how many times in our Christian life that we live off of old bread. And we don't have fresh manna from heaven. God hasn't blessed us recently. Well, what's the problem there? It must be God. Oh, could it be with us? You know, you get around certain Christians and they want to tell you what God did for them years ago. Well, what's God doing for you today? Amen. What does God have? Why are you still talking about blessings 20 years ago? When's the last time you had an answered prayer? When's the last time you shared the gospel with someone and they got born again? When was the last time God dealt with you about a matter as you read the Word of God and He revealed a sin in your life that you confessed and got victory over? When's the last time? We don't need to hear about what happened 2 decades ago. God is still alive. The book is still alive. Why isn't it doing anything in your life? This man, he was constrained by the love of Christ. He was obedient, and he was blessed. He just didn't hear. He obeyed. He was a doer of the work. It's like this. I'll close with this. Yesterday, I knocked on this guy's door, and I shared with him the gospel. And he said he wanted to receive it, but when came time for him to ask Christ to come into heart and save his soul, he rejected it. He said, no, I'm just not willing to do that. I said, okay. And I tried to tell him, you know what? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, you're not guaranteed. He said, well, I just want to know more about it. And I'm thinking, you know everything there is to get saved. You know it. You're a sinner. You know, if you died right now, you're going to hell. You know, Christ is willing to save you. All you have to do is put your faith in His death, burial, and resurrection, and you're saved. He was told those things. Now, is he going to be blessed because he heard the gospel? Matter of fact, it adds to his what? Condemnation, doesn't it? So he's not going to be blessed. Now, did he hear? Sure he did. But here's the thing. He's not going to heaven. His sins are not forgiven. He doesn't have peace, rest, joy, and so much more. His name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, he heard it. He's not a doer. Okay, let's bring it down here. How much have you heard and you still refuse to do? Just as he's missing out, so are you. Let's be the man or the person who obeys. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.